Well, whatever else is on your heart and mind, we'll have a chance to pray over in a few minutes. But first, let's look into the scripture and let's encourage our hearts with what we find here. We're turning tonight to the Gospel of Luke. We're going over to the 19th chapter, because Luke is the only one that tells this story. And it's an important one. We want to look at this and consider the story of Zacchaeus this evening. So it starts with verse 1 of Luke 19 and goes down through verse 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, this is the infamous they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." That will probably just about wipe him out. And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." We are still considering, and we will for some time now, so don't despair. We're still considering the broad subject of our sanctification. Last week, if you remember, we considered motives to sanctification, and those are there the last part of chapter 1 in 1 Peter. Things like, well, the will of God. Things like the approaching judgment, things like what it cost the Lord Jesus to accomplish, things like this, the overall plan and purpose of God, the fact that we are known from before the foundation of the world and set apart to be his holy ones. So we have these reasons, we have these motives for us to pursue this. And I use that word carefully because tonight we're looking at an example. In this section, we're looking at an example to us or for us of this idea of pursuing. Now, I grant that I am spiritualizing to a bit, but let me see if I can defend myself. We're looking at a real life story that illustrates a very spiritual principle. And this is what Paul said, and I'm referring to this. "We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord." So what's he seeing? Or what's he saying? He's saying, as we see Jesus, and this is a spiritual side of him, he says, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. The Spirit projects onto our spiritual vision the picture of Christ, the glory of the Lord. And seeing that transforms the believer, changes the believer. We are brought from wherever we were, the last place of glory that we had attained, and we take a step forward from glory to glory. And he says it's in seeing Jesus. And so this was the great goal of Zacchaeus here, wasn't it? It says in verse 3, he was trying to see who this Jesus was. Now, this is right before the triumphal entry, which puts this just about a week before his crucifixion. In other words, we're at the end of the ministry of Jesus here. And Luke will tell us in through the mouths of Cleopas and the other unnamed fellow that they were hoping that he was going to restore the kingdom to Israel, because they all held him to be a prophet, mighty in word and in deed. So that was the general thought about Christ. And Zacchaeus, being a fellow who is out there rubbing shoulders with the world, and as a tax collector collecting money from his Jewish compatriots to funnel off to Rome, that's what made him so hated, he would be sharing in all this. He would hear the stories. He would know the tales. The blind eyes opened, the dead people raised, the cripples walking, that sort of thing, the dumb people speaking, the infirm, like the lady that was had this infirmity for a dozen years, healed, the little children that are touched, that you hear this, and it produces in you this desire to see. And so it was for Zacchaeus, he wanted to see. Now, this pictures for us, I think, some of the struggle that we have. We mentioned early on as we started this that there are those who say, all you got to do is just look to the Lord and all is well. You don't have to try. You don't have to struggle. There's no effort involved, which just takes about half of Paul's writings and throws them in the waste bin. You understand that, don't you? Paul is a very active Christian, and he kept urging this upon us. Words like pursue, words like fight, words like wrestle, words like struggle. And if we just came to Zacchaeus and said, Zacchaeus, just look to the Lord, what would he do? I can't see him. I have a problem. And it's a picture for us, I think, that it's a struggle at times to see the Lord Jesus Christ. We encounter difficulties. This man did. There was this crowd. And everywhere Jesus went, there was a crowd around him. And Zacchaeus stood about, I'd say about that tall, wouldn't you? About that tall. And everyone else about that. He couldn't see through them. He couldn't see around them. There's too much. And he could not perceive the Lord of glory. So he was short. There was a big crowd. And these things were working against this desire of his. Now, add to that overall sense of, let's call it a little bit of frustration, the discouragement of his position. His position, therefore, is in verse 7. Everybody thought this about the tax collector. They began to grumble when Jesus stopped in front of Zacchaeus and spoke to him. And he said, I've got to go to your house. And they all said, what? He's gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. How much can you have this rubbed in your face that you're a sinner? You have no business pursuing spiritual things. You have no business even seeing this great prophet. You are a sinner. And I know that some of you have actually heard that in your inner ear, the whisperings of the crowd, the stuff that's come against you and said, you've got no business even trying. I mean, I've heard it. You've got no business even calling yourself a Christian. Look at you. Look at your life. On and on the accusations go. That sense of discouragement can weigh you down and prevent you from going on up the sycamore tree. Well, so what does he do, though? Verse 4, he runs on ahead and he climbs up into a sycamore tree in order to see him. He's got to get some altitude, and so he finds a tree. It's not just any old sycamore tree. It's the sycamore tree beside the road where Jesus is going. And I wanted to say in my notes, any old sycamore tree will do. Any old sycamore tree will not do. It has to be the tree that Christ is going going past. So he finds that. There's a road that goes from Jericho to Jerusalem. It's the straightest shot that he can get. There's a tree. I know they've got to pass by that. He runs down there, climbs up the tree, and finds himself a perch there that he might look at Jesus. Just to look at him. Just to see him. Just to behold him. Oh, bless this man. He's the son of Abraham, by the way, the Lord says. Now, he does this, and let's say this. There's some encouragement for us here, because that's the exhortation to struggle. That's the exhortation to us to pursue, to wrestle, to fight, to pray. And sometimes all of our effort of being engaged in this pursuit of sanctification is just the wrestling to see the Lord, to behold him, to get to the point where you can see him. Someone put it this way. This is the way it was said, you pray until you can pray. And I think what they meant was sometimes you get in the place of prayer and the words will not come and you find yourself as dry as unbuttered toast. And you think, what's the point of trying? Well, this fellow says, you keep pressing. You keep praying until you can pray, until you find suddenly the help of the Spirit of God. And suddenly the words start coming and you realize, huh, the Lord is here. And if you had said it initially, well, I'm too dead to pray. I'm too dead to climb that sycamore tree. You'd never see him when he passed by. Well, so there's the exhortation to us. But now let's look at verse 10. He who seeks finds. Now, when you hear that formula, what do you think of? You think of what the Lord said about he who knocks, the door is open. He who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. I want to turn this verse around, not impiously, but I want to say the Son of Man has come to seek. He is seeking. He has come to seek, and he has come to save that which was lost. Here's the encouragement of this verse. If Jesus is seeking you, he will find you. And he will find you and he will save you. Now that to me is tremendously encouraging. If you feel in the scripture a warrant to believe for your posterity, for your family, for your little ones, and you feel in your heart the Lord is seeking them, he who seeks finds. The Son of Man has come to seek. And he found him, didn't he? I think that seeking of Christ is what produced the seeking in Zacchaeus. It was the drawing by the Spirit of God that was bringing this curiosity, this interest, this anticipation in the heart. Call it what you wish. Maybe it's all of that rolled up in the heart of Zacchaeus. I've got to see him. I've got to see him. And that's the Lord drawing him. That's the Lord seeking him. And he who seeks will find. The Lord himself stops at that tree and he looks up and he says, he doesn't say, who are you? He says, Zacchaeus, come on down. I've got to stay at your house. We're going to have a lunch together. We're going to have a nice long talk together. I'm going to bless you with the sense of my presence in your home. You think there was a quantum leap forward in the life, the spiritual life of this man, Zacchaeus? Picture the Son of God coming into your home and you fixing a meal for him like Martha and Mary did. And picture then what can come out of that. Glorious, glorious things. Let's go on. He who seeks does not condemn, does he? He says in verse 9, salvation. Today, salvation has come to this house. Wait a minute. This man is a tax collector. He works for the IRS. You mean to tell me you're going to be gracious and benevolent and kind to him? And the Lord of glory says, exactly. Because he has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Make no mistake. Lost behavior has resulted in what you see in the life of Zacchaeus. He was the son of Abraham that had wandered off. But God knew him, and the Spirit of God was drawing him, and the Son of God finds him and says, come down, without a word of condemnation. And he says, I must stay at your house today. Come on down. Now, that's about as kind as you can get. That's about as absent and far away from a spirit of condemnation and harshness as you can imagine. And this graciousness out of the mouth of the Savior who says, I must stay at your house. And so, he sees Jesus. And in that sight, there's all manner of good things for this man. In fact, you see it coming forth immediately. He says, he stops him and says, Lord, now look, if I have defrauded anybody, I'll give back four times as much. He probably knew exactly whom he had defrauded. And he says this too. I'm going to give away, before I start figuring up my defraud schedule, I'm going to figure up half of what I own, and I'm going to give it to the poor. The Lord hasn't said a word about this yet. But you can see it's pressing on this man. Compare him to the rich young ruler who says, I've done everything in the law, but what am I lacking? And when it was revealed to him what it was lacking, it was his undoing, at least for the time. Maybe he learned to repent. Maybe he learned to let go. But this just spontaneously comes forth out of the heart of this tax collector. I give half away, and then four times as much to anyone else I've defrauded. That's why I think he's maybe on a par with the rich young ruler here. And that may pretty well wipe out his bank account. Well, what is the lesson to us here? We have a minute or two. We need to find a sycamore tree, don't we? There's lots of things getting in the way. There's lots of things hindering. Things about us, that we're just born short. Things about the crowd, it's just too big. Things about our situation, it's such that it's just too much against us. When that is the case, we need to find ourselves a sycamore tree. And again, not just any sycamore tree, the sycamore tree that's close to where Christ is coming by. So that sycamore tree can be the local church. That sycamore tree can be a Bible study. The sycamore tree can be a sense of Christian fellowship. You see where we're going with this. Find something that elevates you and lifts you to the place where you can see the Lord Jesus Christ going by. Because it's the sight of him. It's the sight of him that frees us from our white-knuckled grip on the things of this world. Ugh, I can't let go. You can when you see him. It's the thing that makes us want to make right with our fellow man. If I've defrauded anybody, and the sight of Jesus who's come from the glory and humbled himself, that makes us want to be right with our brothers, doesn't it? And it puts us in that right position. We're a son of Abraham. Well, Isaiah once complained about the state of Israel. He says, Isaiah, Abraham wouldn't know us. They wouldn't even recognize us. Jacob would look at us and say, who are they? Well, we're sons of Abraham. Well, you're a son of Abraham when salvation comes to this house, as it did there for that man that blessed day. And all because the good shepherd was seeking, and the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. So let's repair now to our sycamore tree and ask the Lord to reveal himself to us. And so let's pray.